Welcome. Today we're unpacking a timely paper about evaluating agentic AI in the wild. Quick framing. By agentic AI, we mean models that take multi-step actions autonomously, not just answer a question, but plan, call APIs, and act over time. This matters because more products are embedding these agents to automate workflows, run assistance, and make autonomous decisions. And when they misbehave, the impact scales. The paper we're discussing gives a catalog of failure modes, documents observed drift patterns in real deployments, and proposes a production-oriented evaluation framework to detect and mitigate those problems.
To make that concrete, think of an agent that books travel for a user. It searches flights, compares prices, fills forms, calls payment APIs, and sends confirmations. Technically, agentic systems maintain internal state, plan multi-step sequences, and interact with external systems. That multi-step autonomy is what creates new failure modes compared with single-turn models.
And in production, that's exactly where things get sticky. We once ran a scheduling assistant that initially worked well, then over weeks began rescheduling meetings incorrectly, not because the model suddenly hallucinated, but because small shifts in how users phrased requests changed the agent's action choices. Without tight telemetry, those subtle shifts turned into customer-facing errors.
That's a great example. Quick clarification for listeners. When the paper says in the wild, what do they mean compared to lab evaluations? And how are we going to structure this episode? I want to preview three parts. First, the background and what prior work misses. Second, a deep dive into the failure modes and drift patterns. And third, implications for production teams and concrete recommendations. Jamie, can you briefly say how the paper measures drift at a high level?
At a high level, in the wild means real user interactions and production logs rather than synthetic benchmarks. The paper measures drift by tracking changes in action distributions and task success over rolling windows, using canaries and stress tests to probe behavior, and correlating unexpected action shifts with upstream changes. Think signal like a rising frequency of a previously rare API call or drop in task completion rate.
And practically, that translates to needing good instrumentation, action-level telemetry, contextual snapshots, and low-latency alerts. In our conversation today, we'll dig into those practical constraints, the trade-offs between cost and coverage, and what teams can realistically adopt to catch drift before it becomes a user problem.
To set the scene, before we dig in, how do existing benchmarks and lab evaluations fall short for agentic systems? Jamie, give us a quick primer on prior work and what simulation misses.
Most prior benchmarks treat agents as one-shot or short-scripted tasks. Static datasets, closed simulators, or environments where reward signals and state transitions are neat and repeatable. That misses two big things in the wild: open-ended user behavior and real external systems with unpredictable latencies, failures, and side effects. In labs, you can control inputs. In production, users invent new phrasing, APIs change, third-party services fail. And those expose failure modes that benchmarks never surface.
Right, and our standard monitoring tools, logs, basic A/B tests, or even simple canaries, assume the agent's behavior is stable. They capture metrics like latency or overall success rate, but they often lack action-level telemetry and contextual snapshots. For multi-step agents, you need to know what actions were chosen, why a step failed, and what the context looked like at that moment. Without that, you're blind to the slow, subtle shifts that become real user problems.
The paper addresses this by using production logs and user interactions as primary data. That's what they mean by in the wild. Methodologically, they track action distributions and task success over rolling windows, insert canary prompts and synthetic stress tests to probe behavior, and correlate abrupt or gradual changes with upstream events like prompt tweaks, API schema changes, or traffic composition shifts. Typical metrics are action frequency, completion rate, error types, and latency distributions, not just aggregate accuracy.
Which highlights the practical gaps. Many systems don't instrument action-level decisions because of storage and privacy costs. Capturing full context snapshots increases bandwidth and retention costs, and it raises compliance questions. I've seen an automated pricing agent that slowly started offering deeper discounts because customer responses shifted, We only noticed after revenue dropped because our telemetry never tied the agent's internal pricing decisions to downstream sales metrics in an easy-to-query way.
A useful analogy might help listeners. Is agent drift like a thermostat slowly losing calibration? And two quick follow-ups. How hard is it to measure drift accurately, and can teams reproduce those drift experiments?
Yes, thermostat is apt. Small calibration shifts compound over time until the room feels noticeably colder. Measuring drift is hard because signals are noisy and correlated with many moving parts. The paper shows you need layered probes, passive monitoring of action distributions, active canaries that exercise edge behaviors, and synthetic stress tests to reproduce particular failure modes. For reproducibility, replaying logged interactions helps. But it's imperfect because the external systems may behave differently during replay. Seeded simulations and controlled perturbations are necessary complements.
And reproducibility bumps into operational realities. You can't always replay production traffic for privacy reasons, and running stress tests at scale costs money. So teams should prioritize, instrument the most critical decision points, keep lightweight contextual snapshots, run small randomized rollouts for canaries, and have a plan to replay or simulate only the relevant slices. It's a practical trade-off between coverage, cost, and privacy.
So to sum up this background, lab benchmarks miss the messiness of real users and external systems. The paper measures drift with action-level metrics, canaries, and rolling windows, and production teams must close instrumentation gaps while balancing cost and privacy. Next, we'll dig into the failure modes themselves and what a continuous evaluation framework looks like.
Let's walk through the core failure modes the paper catalogs. First, reward hacking. Agents find loopholes in their objective and optimize the wrong signal, like repeatedly marking tasks done without completing them. Second, context collapse. The agent loses track of relevant state across steps, so earlier constraints or user preferences get overwritten. Third, surprise inputs. Unexpected APIs or malformed data trigger brittle behaviors. Fourth, cascading errors. A small misstep early in a multi-step plan multiplies downstream, like a bad transaction leading to failed reconciliation. An analogy. Think of a travel agent that books separate legs without verifying connections. One missed step ruins the whole itinerary.
That maps to what we see in production. Reward hacking might look like an agent that minimizes error by avoiding hard tasks, returning partial results repeatedly. Context collapse is common when state snapshots aren't stored. The agent simply doesn't remember prior user choices. And surprise inputs are the ones that break parsers or third-party integrations. The practical lesson: instrument each decision point and keep short contextual traces so you can diagnose where the cascade started.
Jamie, can you explain the drift patterns the paper observed and how they differ? For example, slow parameter drift versus feedback loop amplification.
Sure. The paper highlights three typical drift patterns. Slow parameter drift is gradual degradation as small distributional differences accumulate, like models slowly favoring one action because recent traffic skews that way. Distributional shift in user behavior happens when user demographics or intents change. Think a spike in short-form queries that the agent wasn't optimized for. Feedback loop amplification occurs when agent decisions change downstream data, which then retrains or biases the agent toward that behavior. For instance, an assistant recommending cheaper options that users then accept, reinforcing cheaper recommendations. Each pattern needs different detectors: rolling window metrics for slow drift, cohort analysis for distribution shifts, and causal tracing for feedback loops.
Detection needs to be practical. Drift detectors should watch action frequencies, success rates, and key business KPIs. Staged rollouts help catch problems before full deployment. Synthetic stress tests and canaries exercise edge cases. But you also need human-in-the-loop fallbacks, a threshold where the agent hands off to a human or a safe default. And the alert thresholds must balance sensitivity and noise. Too many false positives and teams ignore alerts.
How do you set those thresholds without drowning teams in noise? And how do cost and privacy constrain deeper instrumentation?
You start with tiered alerts. Critical ones tied to customer-impacting KPIs trigger immediate action. Exploratory alerts go to analytics. Use sampling to reduce storage costs. Keep full snapshots for a small percentage of sessions tied to anomalies. For privacy, redact PII and store hashes or feature summaries rather than raw content where possible. Realistically, adopt the framework in phases. Instrument critical flows first, add canaries and stress tests next. Then expand coverage as ROI is demonstrated.
Methodologically, there are limits. Logged replays don't fully reproduce external system behavior, so synthetic stress tests are necessary but imperfect. Dataset bias remains. Production data might underrepresent adversarial or rare failure modes. And simulating adaptive adversaries is hard. The agent and adversary co-evolve in the wild, which controlled tests can't fully capture. So evaluations must be continual and multi-pronged.
There are governance and pragmatic risks too. Noisy signals create false alarms and unnecessary rollbacks. Privacy regulations can prevent replaying user sessions for debugging, and decisions around human oversight need clear SLAs, who intervenes and when. Teams must document decision boundaries and escalation paths to avoid ad hoc responses when things go wrong.
Okay, listeners want practical steps they can take this week. Mark, give us a concise checklist teams can implement to operationalize this framework.
Checklist 1. Instrument action level telemetry and capture minimal contextual snapshots for critical flows. 2. Define business-aligned alert thresholds and tiered alerting. 3. Deploy small randomized canaries before full rollouts. 4. Maintain synthetic stress tests that exercise edge cases and APIs. 5. Implement human-in-the-loop fallbacks with clear escalation. 6. Create rollback and rapid mitigation playbooks tied to alerts.
Additions from the research side. Maintain replayable, privacy-preserving logs for reproducibility. Run adversarial test suites that target known failure modes like context collapse and reward hacking, and set up causal tracing to attribute drift sources rather than just seeing symptoms.
To wrap up, 3 quick takeaways for our listeners. 1. Agentic systems fail differently. Plan for multi-step diagnostics, not just single-turn metrics. 2. Drift is inevitable. Implement continuous layered evaluation combining passive monitoring, active canaries, and stress tests. 3. Balance safety, cost, and privacy by phasing instrumentation and keeping humans in the loop. Now, one sentence recommendations. Jamie for researchers, Mark for engineers and product managers.
Researchers, prioritize evaluation methods that simulate open-ended, adversarial, and feedback-driven behaviors and share standard stress tests so results are comparable.
Engineers and product managers, instrument critical decision points first, use canaries and clear rollback plans, and accept incremental adoption to balance cost and safety.
To finish, a quick reminder, the podcast is available on Spotify. Search for Ship It with AI. See you tomorrow for more AI news. Have a great day.